Father, we just pray, may our hearts be open to hear what the Spirit wants to say to us today. Lord, you've already been speaking today. And Father, may our hearts, our minds, our spirits be open to all that you want to share today. So give us ears to hear what the Spirit wants to say. Yeah, Father, speak to us, speak to our hearts. And Lord, as we progress through this time of year and come to Christmas Day, where we remember the birth of Jesus, Lord, we pray, may we be astonished once again at the birth of Jesus, the incarnation of God, God coming in human form. Father, we just can't get our heads around this. But Father, we thank you that you loved us so much, that you came to this world. We thank you for Jesus who grew in stature and in favor with God and with other people. Father, we thank you for this Jesus who taught us and this Jesus who showed us a new way to live. But he not only showed us, he gave us the means by which we could live this way through sending the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we pray, help us to grasp something afresh about Jesus this Christmas time. In his name we ask, amen. When asked what she wanted for Christmas, over many years now, Mary has said this: peace and quiet. What do you want for Mary? What Christmas, Mary? Peace and quiet. And a cup of tea. And a cup of tea. Sorry, I forgot that, but let's not forget that. But I don't know that she meant that, but that's what she said anyway. And perhaps when the kids were younger, maybe that was more the case. If you've got young kids in here today, you'll know what Mary was talking about with asking for peace and quiet. It's just like, give me a wee corner somewhere in the house where I can go away and have a cup of tea. Did you know that the quietest place on earth is an anechoic chamber in the Orfield Laboratories in Minnesota? Anechoic means it's a chamber where there's no echoes. That's a picture of it on the screen there. And the longest anybody has been able to stay in there, the longest anybody's been able to cope with it, bear it, put up with it, has been 45 minutes. It's so quiet, you can hear your insides. And I kind of thought, it's said about this place that the noise level, we measure the noise level in decibels. Now, if we'd measured it when we were all singing, it would have probably been sitting about 80 or 90 or somewhere in about there. When I measured it when I was in the house, sitting on my own in the house, nobody else was in, it was actually sitting at 25 decibels. Well, the sound level in this room is minus 9.4. That's how quiet it is. You have to go into negative numbers to measure it. And as I said, if you sit in this room, you can actually hear your insides going. It's so quiet. Wow. Peace and quiet. I think that'd be too quiet. Too quiet for me. I wonder what it was like. Have you ever wondered what it was like before people were created? Before animals were created? I know I'm going back to this, and please forgive me, but I just find Genesis so captivating. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. I wonder if there was a wind. Do you think there was a wind? If there was a wind, there would be noise. But in space, if, I don't know if you've ever thought of this, in space there's no noise. It's absolutely silent in space. So if you want some peace and quiet this Christmas, you know where to go, right? All the way up to space. And in the quietness, in the silence, God said. God said. God said something and broke the silence. The title of what we're talking about today is Breaking Silence. God spoke into the silence of the unformed earth as it was at the time. When did that happen? Doesn't tell us. We don't know when Genesis 1 happened. In the beginning, God created. We don't know when that happened. And then we go into verse 3, and it says, and God said, let there be light. And God broke the silence, and Jesus spoke. If you go into John chapter 1, it says that he was the Word become flesh. Jesus, we think about that at Christmas time, the Word of God that spoke at the beginning became flesh, and he took on human form. But God said something, and he changed everything. God said something, and he changed everything. Maybe there are people today, and you need God to say something into your life. When God speaks, when God says something, he can change everything. And God is still a God who's speaking today. If there's any problems, it's that we're not able to listen. Maybe our listening mechanisms aren't working very well. In the past, God spoke through the prophets. We read about that in the Bible over many years. And when you read the words of the prophets, they're absolutely fascinating. And we've thought about this before in the life of the church. The chances of those prophecies being fulfilled in one person, in one place in time in history, are absolutely astronomical. Even the chances of eight of those, we thought about this before, happening, like the odds were just astronomical, impossible odds. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 12, we read this. Concerning this salvation, talking about who we are and where we are today, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven. And then there's this interesting little verse. Even angels long to look into these things. Even the angels long to look into this. And we're going to think about the words of the angels this morning. I wonder if you can imagine what that was like for the prophets, searching intently and with greatest care. You know, I love movies, and one of my favorite movies is Lord of the Rings, thank you. Okay, I'm not sure which of the trilogy is my favorite, but this picture comes from the first one. It's Gandalf pouring through the scrolls, trying to find out information about the ring, and here he is, this kind of like prophet looking type guy, trying to find the answers to what's going on and searching for what is happening here, what does it mean, what's the significance, and looking for all these things. How do we interact with the Word of God? If you think about the prophets searching intently and carefully, how do we interact with it? We not only have the Old Testament scriptures, we have the New Testament as well as 2,000 years of church history. I wonder for us, is it more like this? Where every so often you pick your Bible off the shelf and you blow the dust off it. And the dust goes everywhere. For some people, that's what it's like. Have a Bible in the house, but never use the Bible. I don't know if you can blow the dust off your phone. No dust. My Bible's on my phone and on my device here. I wonder for us, is it like that? Or are we the type of people who are searching intently to find out what the scriptures are saying about Jesus? And I love this little bit at the end. Even angels long to look into these things. Even the angels, and we thought about this before just a few weeks ago, Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10 says, through Christians like yourselves, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. The plan of God, the purposes of God that we experience are being talked about even amongst the angels. It's phenomenal. Angels are messengers sent by God to deliver a message in person. I don't know, would you say you've ever encountered an angel? Have you ever encountered an angel? Maybe one or two people. I don't know how it would make you feel. I could tell you a story about that, but I'm going to leave that for another time. I'm going to leave you in suspense. Tell you about an encounter with an angel. But in the Bible, In the Bible, we read about angels who came and spoke to people, particularly at this time. And I want to just think about these angels this morning and how they broke the silence. They broke the silence of hundreds of years. The scriptures had been written. It was finished as far as everybody was concerned. And there was a period of about 400 years where there was no fresh revelations. There was no new information. It was just people going, looking for this person who would be Messiah, looking for Jesus. And the angel came and broke the silence. He first broke the silence with a young teenage girl called Mary. And it says in Luke chapter 1, "Then the angel answered, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news.'" What was the good news? Well, we read on, and this is what he says: "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David," talking about King David, "and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." The angel went on to share about this messianic king, the Messiah that the people had been waiting for hundreds of years, thousands of years in fact, a king who would rule on the throne of David, their ancestor. But Jesus' kingship would look different from the kings at that point in time. And that's why we pray. We pray that still. And Jesus taught us to pray this prayer: "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Heaven coming to earth. I don't know about you, I need heaven to come to earth. I need the presence of God to come to me in this earthly body so that it's able to function in the way that he desires. Every time we listen and obey, heaven comes to earth. Let me say that again. Every time we hear what God is saying and we put it into practice, listening and obeying, trusting, heaven comes to earth. And that's our prayer, is that heaven comes to earth. Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth in human form. The angel also said to Joseph, a different angel, after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Have you noticed the common phrase in what the angel says so far? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I think God's saying to some of us today, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. He knows what's in the future. It's a phrase that's repeated by all the things that the angels say. And it's easy for us, with 2,000 years of hindsight, with the New Testament, with the stories that have been handed down to us through generations, to say, oh, well, that would be easy not to be afraid. Imagine yourself at the time. It might have been some different story. Gabriel also appeared to a man called Zechariah. This is what he said: "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to give him the name John, John the Baptist." He appeared to Zechariah in the temple. Zechariah was so afraid, he was dumbstruck. And because of his lack of faith in what the angel was saying to him, the angel says, well, you're not going to be able to speak until the baby's born. Imagine your husband not being able to speak. Imagine your wife not being able to speak. Peace, perfect peace. But the silence is always broken, isn't it? It's broken by something. But I found this interesting. The angel said to Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. And sometimes we don't realize this because we can be praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. Jesus told a story about a persistent widow, didn't he? How she came to a judge and she kept knocking on his door and saying, give me justice, give me justice, give me justice. Are we nearly there yet? Are we nearly there yet? When am I getting justice? When am I getting justice? And he was just so exasperated that he answered the woman's prayer. He gave her what she was asking for, just to get her off his case. And Jesus used that as an example of how we should pray. There are times when we pray and we leave it with God and we don't go back to it. We just cast all our cares upon him and we leave it with him. But there are other times where we need to persevere in prayer. We need to keep coming back and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying and not be discouraged while we're doing it. But our prayer is being heard. We need to remember that. John's coming into the world was also a fulfillment of Scripture. The one who would be the voice crying out in the wilderness. I don't know if you caught the message online. We had a nativity last week. And so the boys and girls were fantastic last week. Loved it. And it was amazing. And for those who were online, they had a special service all to themselves. Hope you enjoyed that. But I was thinking about the different songs and prophecies that were spoken by Mary and by Zachariah and Anna and Simeon, the things that they said. And when you listen to what they say, the things that they say are actually rich with fulfillment of Scripture. You see Scripture being fulfilled. Anyway, that's another story. I hadn't planned to go there. The angel also spoke to the shepherds. And this is what they said. Do not be afraid. Are you getting the message today? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Four times. And the things that we're reading today. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Lord, the Messiah. Christ is the word for Messiah. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The angel and the angels, because there were more than one, appeared the most unlikely of characters, the shepherds. And I know some people are using Amy R. Ewing's devotional book at the moment as they approach Christmas. And I think she draws out the point about how unlikely it would be that the shepherds would be people who would be chosen to hear the good news about Jesus. These were the kind of outcast people. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with them. So if you feel like an outcast, if you feel like nobody wants anything to do with you, well, you're in good company, okay? Because that's who God wants to speak to today. Lowly shepherds. We sing it in some of the carols that we sing at Christmas time. The last people in the world who would be thought worthy to receive this life-changing news, this world-changing news. And they went to see the Savior. And we read on in Luke 2, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. We need the peace of God. I don't know about you, I need the peace of God. And I was thinking about this. We often say actions speak louder than words. Have you heard that phrase? I'm sure you have. Actions speak louder than words. Well, I want to turn that around today and say, in this case, actions don't speak louder than words, because these words speak very loudly, because these words have echoed through centuries of time. And here we are today, the church is still growing, people are still being changed by the life-changing message of Jesus, and the church is on the move. We might look at church attendance in Scotland and think, well, the church is in decline. Let me just tell you that the people who are saying that are not looking at the full picture. They're not looking at the full picture, even of what's happening in our nation, never mind what's happening across the world. The church is on the move. The church is growing. The church is responsible for so many amazing things that happen right now and in the past that have come about as a result of people being impacted by the life of Jesus. The world has been changed by Jesus. One man who started his ministry when he was 30, and finished it at the age of 33, when he died on a cross, when he rose on the third day, when he spoke with those early disciples over the period of 40 days before he was ascended. This Jesus, this risen Jesus, has changed the world forever. If I had to ask you, if you want to change the world, what would be your plan to change the world if you knew you had 3 years to do it? Would you do it in the same way that Jesus had done? Probably not. You would try to become prime minister or president or king or something like that, and you would try to get power and influence. Well, his power was a very different kind of power, and he changed the world. The words of the prophets are loaded with meaning for those who are intent on listening. The words of the angels are also loaded with meaning for us today. And if anything, what God is saying to some people today, he's saying, do not be afraid. I wonder how long it took for those people who lived then, who heard these messages directly, who began to understand that prophecy was being fulfilled in their very lifetimes. I wonder when the moment came when they said, it's happening. It's finally happening. Hundreds of years of waiting for Messiah, and here he is. It's happening. I want to encourage us today by saying it has happened and it is continuing to happen. God is fulfilling his purposes. And I want to just challenge you today by saying don't miss it. Don't miss what God is doing and what God can do in your life today. This same Jesus, who it tells us when he was before Pilate and when he was on trial, was totally silent. He didn't answer a word. The silent Jesus broke a silence that changed centuries of history. I want to encourage us this morning, just one last time, don't be afraid. To encourage us to remember that your prayers have been heard. You might think that God's not heard your prayer, but he has, and the answer is on the way. And that God is still working his plans and his purposes if you're willing through you and if you believe. He calls us simply to trust. And I've said this before recently. We often talk about faith. When I talk to people who are not Christians, they talk to me about your faith, my faith. And it's a funny term. It's not something that I use. I talk about having faith. I have faith in God. It's not my faith. It's not our faith. In one sense it is, but that's how we are perceived by people who are not Christians. We talk about people of all faiths and none. You've probably heard that. But it's not some abstract thing. It's something that God has given us. And I talked recently about changing the word faith to trust. Faith is a noun. Trust is a verb. It's something that we do. Trust and obey. And for those who are old enough, you'll know the song. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Who can finish it off? Thank you very much. To be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. Just simply listening to God and putting it into practice. And I want to encourage you to do that. I also want to encourage you, maybe there are some people today online or in here and you've never prayed a prayer to ask Jesus into your life. And that's what he wants to do. The risen Jesus, who's in heaven praying for us, wants to send his spirit to come and live in us and begin to transform us from the inside. And it's a simple prayer. It's a simple prayer away. And it's on the screen. And you can see that prayer. And it's a very simple prayer. And I want to encourage us, just as we finish off today, we're going to bow our heads and we're going to pray this prayer. And I think we're going to do something different today. In fact, let's not close our eyes today. Let's read this prayer together. It's not something that we normally do, but let's read this prayer together. We'll say it together. And if you really mean that prayer, then say amen at the end. You could be online as well. Where you are, please feel free to share this prayer. Let's say it together before we finish our service in prayer this morning. Let's say it together. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he died for my sin and that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And Father, we just pray today as we consider how Jesus broke the silence of centuries. Father, angels broke the silence. Father, the words of the prophets began to be fulfilled in the very hearing of those who were alive at that time. Father, we thank you that Jesus changed the world. We thank you that he's changing us. We thank you that he has the power to change our lives, to change our families, to break things that have haunted us for generations in our families. Father, to break the past, to break off chains, to break off yokes, to break off things that bind us. Father, to set the captives free. Father, to give us a hope and a future. Father, to give us joy. Father, to give us peace, to give us your shalom. Father, we thank you that Jesus can do all these things for us, and we pray, help us to enter into all that he has for us. And Lord, as we come to this time of year, Lord, we ask for your fulfillment of your word over our lives. Father, as we begin to stir up what you have said to us, Lord, we ask that you would fulfill your word, that you would fulfill what you have spoken to us in our life's time, and Father, in a way where we can see the fruit of our labor. We ask this in Jesus' name. Bless every family, and Father, we pray, may we have an incredible afternoon, and for those who are back here to practice early, Lord, we pray your blessing and strength, and Lord, for everyone who comes tonight to the carol service, we pray that we would encounter your presence in this place once again. And all God's people said, amen.